Rule quickly and politely established ground rules. Then he opened the front door and gestured for the others to come out.
They aren't supposed to ask questions until I give the go-ahead, but one or two probably will as soon as you appear. Ignore them.
Oh, I can do that.
Mrs. Astelio touched her hair and followed. Toby hung back.
If you changed your mind...
No, but my mind went all empty. All of a sudden, there's nothing there, and I don't know what to say.
Tell the truth. You don't have to answer questions you don't like. If you don't want to answer, squeeze my hand and I'll deal with it.
Good grief. I don't even know half those people.
Rule assumed she meant the crowd gathered to watch the press uphold their right to be informed.
The bystanders will leave when the TV vans do. If you're ready, I'll give a brief statement first, then we'll take questions.
Toby pointed.
Look, here comes Mr. Hodge. Bet he's going to make them all go away. You think they will? Maybe he brought his shotgun to scare them.
His shotgun? Where is he?
Rule turned, his nape cold and bristling. There, at the back of the crowd, stood an older man, nearly hidden by people and by the large oak tree, stepping forward now, holding something, bringing it up.
It's okay. He never loads it. Right, Grammy? He just likes to...
Time slowed as earth magic surged up through Rule to join with a sudden snap with the moon song always present, join and pull. Between one second and the next, he fell into Serta, a place of ice and clarity, where sensation is sharp enough to cut and action flows too swiftly for thought, and held himself back by sheer will from the rest of the fall.
Make out like he's all mean, but he really...
Rule used one arm to sweep Toby and his grandmother onto the porch floor. He was aware of everything, the reporters just starting to react, not to the threat behind them, but to Rule. Toby squawking, Lily on her feet, reaching just under her jacket. But he was already in the air, sailing in one leap over the head of the brunette reporter, letting the vicious pull have him as Earth and Moon finished their dance and dragged him through the twist they'd made in reality. The blast from the shotgun smacked his human ears and echoed in the much better ears he landed with, the incandescent pain of the change already gone. Landed amid screams and blood scent, steady on all four feet, ready to launch himself forward, but people were in the way. People scrambling, falling, yelling, standing frozen. Too bloody many people between him and the threat to his mate and son. Another concussion of sound. The shotgun's second barrel. It tipped him out of Serta and close to frenzy, but he held on, held back, gathering himself on his haunches and leaped again over the people. There, the enemy. Senses merged into a single data flow as Rule saw, scented the man, the gun, and something else. Something unutterably foul. The man saw him, too. The gun's barrel swung toward Rule as the man's eyes widened, his face contorting.
I didn't know!
He dropped the gun, stumbling back.
I didn't know!
In his backward retreat, he tripped, fell. The enemy was down. Rule leaped on him, teeth reaching. The man tipped his head back.
I didn't know!
He bared his throat. Rule froze. Need vied with need, clashing instincts mounting an explosion barely capped by will. Blood! Screamed the loudest part of him. He needed blood, needed to finish the enemy. An enemy who reeked of perversion, of death magic. Dimly, Rule recalled the name for the stink coating his nostrils, but the wolf was more interested in destroying such foulness than naming it. But the man's action had tripped another switch. Rule's enemy had acknowledged him, subordinating himself. The immediacy of bloodlust faded. The man was his now, his to kill or spare. Killing made sense. It would eliminate any future threats, and anything that stank of such perversion deserved death. Besides, what would he do with the man if he let him live? Rule couldn't keep him. He was human, not clan. And yet there was some reason, some important reason for sparing him, only he couldn't quite...
I know him.
No, he didn't. Beneath the reek of death magic, the man's smell was unfamiliar. Confused, the wolf hesitated.
Rule! Don't rule! I need him alive!
He would wait. She knew. Knew both of him, he remembered, and suddenly Rule the man was present again. Not in charge, but present, and echoing Lily's command to spare the man. The enemy beneath him was convulsing. Ugh. Lily shoved at Rule, who stepped off. She touched the man's throat, then ripped open his shirt and started CPR.